Hey, Jonathan, welcome. A lot of people are on the field watching that NFC title game. What a contest,
trying to
huh?
See, I haven't, since I watched the first half with Willie McGinnis, and now I'm trying to see what's going on up there. It's, what a great game.
You're 19-13 right now. The Packers lead this ball game. No, I have very good bifocals. That's what I have.
Are they kicking a field goal or an extra point? That's what I can't.
No, they scored the touchdown.
They did.
It looks
right.
Like it looks like they're lining up for the PAT, but I got to think they're going to go for. I mean.
So that wasn't. It was 19-13 after the score. All right,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's 19-13.
So now it's 19-14. So Seattle.
Hey,
has,
this is why they pay Aaron Rodgers a big bucks. Let's see what happens.
So, anyways.
Anyhow, yes.
To this game. Before we get to tonight, I do want to go back to the Baltimore game, which was a great game. I mean, because you saw the pass from Julian to Danny, the way Bill had the deception play at the line of scrimmage. It was just one of those games where both teams were pulling out all the stops to get the win. And fortunately, the Patriots came out on top, but it was a great game to watch.
Yeah, start to finish, I've been going to Patriot games since 1971. I've missed very, very few.
It was one of the good ones.
And I think start to finish, just the was the most intense football game I've ever seen. And even the way at the end Baltimore got the ball back, I might, you know, the Snow Bowl game is just so special. And it was the last game ever at Foxborough. So I got to put that first in Foxborough history. But then I'll put last week's game is the greatest in this building and the second in the history of the Patriots playing at Foxborough. It was just one intense football game.
But also,
and by the way, can I just say, yeah, our fans were amazing. I saw Ernie Adams earlier today, who is not one. Ernie is Bill's quiet confidant. Ernie never emotes about anything. And Ernie was saying how the coach's booth, he said he was scared. He said he's never felt it shake before. And the coaches' booths at the top of the stadium were shaking. And he said, I actually thought for a minute something might happen. And so thank you. It made a difference in the game. It made a big difference.
Ernie Adams really is the Yeti. You hear about him, but you've never seen him. When you go back to the Baltimore game here, Danny Amendola, who's been much maligned for many, many reasons, really had a bit of a breakout game. And it's the old, if you forget about him, you forget that the guy can actually go out and make plays. And I know for a lot of people around here, talking to folks down here this week, there's a lot of satisfaction that Danny got to have the moment, because for as much as people like me and Gary and others have hooted on the guy, apparently he has worked his tail off behind the scenes.
Danny works his behind off, and he's a football player. Like, he's a coach's son. He loves the game, and he's in there. He works. It's just been a string, and this happens. He's had a string of misfortune related to a whole bunch of things, some injuries, some other stuff, and he's just so mentally tough. And the great football players are the guys who are mentally tough. And that third down conversion that he had on the far sideline there, unbelievable. The way he's handled the return game, the back half of the season here, and you see the confidence. Tom's always thought it was there. We had to get it to click, and it's been great to see it happen because Danny's an unbelievable guy.
Quick update here. Onside kick. Seattle gets the ball back.
Ooh.
So, yeah, 19-14. Seattle with an opportunity here late in the fourth quarter. We'll keep you posted on the NFC title game. One of the things we've talked about this week on Arbella's Early Edition, because we had some people on from Indy and just talking to other people around the country, is that the Patriots have reached the status of the Cowboys, of the Canadians, of the Celtics and the Lakers and the Yankees as being, and I say this with all respect, hated by the opponent's fans. If you go to other areas of the country, right, you look at the smile on his face.
Oh, no, they love us whenever we go around the country.
I mean, but is there some satisfaction in an odd way? You know, like Russell always used to say, I love to go into a building and shut people up. Red was the same way. Is there some satisfaction that you've reached a level as an organization where you get that sort of ironic respect?
If it's because of success on the field and that eats at people in other cities, then that's great. We want to try to do the other stuff the right way. And certainly when you try to do things in your community, that doesn't get seen other places. But We have a number of guys on this team, starting with Tom Brady, who to me is as classy of a high-end athlete as you are ever going to see in any sport. And that's important to us. But if opposing cities fans don't like us because we've been fortunate to win a lot, great, you take that. Hopefully that's the reason. I realize people say other stuff, much of which I'm not sure is accurate, but I know certain members of our organization aren't the most warm and fuzzy people, and I get it. So
you mean,
I get it.
Bill's not running for office. I mean, Bill, no, he's
actually,
not running for office.
I actually think Americans, if Bill ran for president, I got to tell you, I think Americans appreciate him as a manager and a strategist, and I think he might do better than you think.
Yeah, but the problem is they have these things called debates where you have to talk, and he doesn't like that. He just can't stand up there and look at someone and go, it is what it is.
He would have, I think he'd be good at the debates. But anyhow,
I would love to see it. It'd be fascinating.
One of the things we're going to do this week is we talked about the formation play. We had four offensive linemen against Baltimore, and you brought in a halfback or a running back who's ineligible. And Harbaugh wasn't complaining about the formation. He was complaining about the officials.
Yeah, no, but after the game, I'll take issue with that. I think if you heard his comments after the game, and that's the one thing, I give Bill a lot of credit. Bill never complains about someone else's tactics strategically. And if someone does that to you, accept it and move on. And by the way, Harbaugh countered it intelligently. He ran out, he took a 15-yard penalty, but he did what he had to do. The head of officiating, Dean Blandino, came out this week and said we did absolutely nothing wrong. If you listen to Harbaugh's post-game press conference, in his mind, he was basically telling people, I think, that he didn't appreciate what we did and didn't think it was appropriate.
When he says the NFL will look into it and they'll make the adjustments, that means he's intimating that the Patriots did something nefarious, when in reality, it was within the rules and Harbaugh just got outcoached.
And I think he tempered it later in the week away from the heat of the game. But I'll tell you, Bill just doesn't do that. And anyhow.
You know what it reminded me of? Reminded me of earlier in the decade, in the millennium, when you had Mike Martz and then Polian and the Colts and Dungy complaining about the physical play within the 5-yard line. And then there was a point of emphasis about physical play within the 5-yard line, within 5 yards. And I wonder if Pava or someone would complain about that to the rules committee in the offseason.
We'll see. If they want to complain, they can complain.
But that's what it reminded me of.
I understand.
Like, we outthought you guys, because we outthought you, that's not fair. But nonetheless.
Quickly, Seattle has just scored a touchdown on a Marshawn Lynch run over the left-hand side.
Wow.
Where they got it home. Marshawn Lynch did his... Of course, once again, he's going to get fined by the NFL because the guy just can't help himself with the old crotch grab. Golly, it's unbelievable. Anyway, Seattle is going for two here, up 20-19, because if they get two, then Green Bay would tie it with a field goal as opposed to win it. So just keeping everybody updated on what's going on in the NFC Championship game.
And for you and for your family, your ninth AFC title game?
This is our ninth AFC title game, 21 years. We are very, very fortunate.
Oh, my God! Russell Wilson runs all the way to the right and flips it up towards the goal line on the other side, and somehow, some way, it gets caught for the two-point conversion and in. So it's now 22-19, 1:24 to go, it looks like, on the clock.
You know what?
Fourth quarter, Green Bay's going to get the ball here.
There's no game like football.
That is unbelievable. How in the world does that happen?
And five interceptions today, and the kids still get a chance to win.
There's a boatload of turnovers. Well, you know what this does is this reminds you, you better play 60 minutes. And not that that's something that...
The battle of wills. I was just a battle of wills. Yep. Mental and physical toughness. You know, for Russell Wilson to shake it off after the start he had, for Marshawn Lynch to keep pounding, they're a very good football team. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers is a hell of a quarterback, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him come down and watch those guys get three now. So,
He's still Aaron Rodgers, for crying out loud. Hey, I want to ask you, and I know people listening are going to be like, oh, my God, football nerd coming out. But the NFL, I know the Players Association just had their first version of a college bowl game to where you could start to evaluate the new talent coming into the league. But can you kind of walk us through and help us with the they're going to do a veteran combine now right around the time of the draft so that guys who want to stay in the game can hang around? Just walk
us through.
Well,
it's so hard. What you do, I think it's smart. The league, for guys who've been in the league, I think, 3 years but aren't currently on a roster anywhere, right around the major annual owner meetings in March, where all the GMs and head coaches are there too, they're going to have a combine in that city for anybody that's played 1, 2, or 3 years in the league and is not currently on a team. Because it's so, what happens now is when you have a specific need, you invite like 10 guys to come to your facility, but it's always rushed. It's not in perfect conditions. It's under the real pressure of time. So now in a more thoughtful, relaxed, quiet environment where everybody's there, you'll bring in a group of guys who you know have been in the league. You can make fresh evaluations on the talent. And remember, you're building to a roster of 90 at that point in time. And now you can start to sign guys, and it just makes it time efficient and gives the players that opportunity to either get signed or for some of them to realize that maybe their career is over and they should move on to something else.
And if you look at it in terms of roster building and why are things like this important, look at the use of the practice squad and how important it is to be able to bring up Joe Villano in a week where you need him because Chris Jones is down.
And look, Joe Villano had a real impact on this team last year and has had an impact with us this year as well, most of it being in practice and on scout team, but that's exactly the
there's a lot more that goes into it than
squad,
just your 45 on game day.
Right, and the practice squad, which is now, we talked about it at the start of the season, has been bumped up to 10 guys, and the amount of experience has been expanded so that you can really develop talent, and it's critical to be able to do that. And Aaron Rodgers now basically has them in field goal range. I'll do my play-by-play.
I know. It's so hard. Like, we want to talk to you, but it's hard watching this.
But that's why I think as a game, but that the competition committee, the league office, the union, we're all trying to do things so that the quality of play on the field is as high as it can be. And that means getting the best players with the most amount of experience into the system. And that's what it's about.
One of the things that I think Bill has been exemplary at is knowing those players just the same. It always seems that he finds an Akeem Ayers or he goes out and gets a Casillo. So this might be a disadvantage for Bill because I think he's been very good at it anyways.
I love our scouts. And I think Nick Caserio and his team do a good job. And look, what we're looking for in a player could be very different than what other guys are looking for.
That's
when
true.
You look at certain positions. And I think what really works well here, top down in our football pyramid, is that Nick and Bill are on the same page in terms of the prototypical players we want at each position. And there's no, you know, scout saying, well, I think this guy's a great gamble, but in reality, it's somebody Bill or Matt or Josh would never want. And that just doesn't happen here internally. There is a real understanding of what we need at each position, and I think that works to our advantage when we're building our team each year.
You got some old guys as honorary captains today as Green Bay is getting ready for a field goal here with 26 seconds to go, down 3. But Troy Brown, Kevin Falk, it's good to see them around, Teddy Bruschi. And what is amazing about the organization is while you're in another AFC title game, you've really done it with two sets of teams, or two group of guys, if you will. The one constant is your quarterback and your coach.
That's been we were starting to talk about it when Seattle scored. We're lucky to have gone to, here's Troy right here.
What's up? Hey, Troy. They want to talk to me about the game?
I was about to make a great point, but go ahead.
I'll make a great point for you, man. This is going to be a fantastic game, you know. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Patriots will come out on top in this game. It's the better offense, better defense, better quarterback, better-looking quarterback. Everything is in the Patriots' favor.
I don't know.
Everything's in the Patriots' favor. So if they go out and play well tonight, it should be pretty much a cakewalk for the Patriots.
Patriots Wednesday Live, Troy Brown, Comcast Sports Center.
Ah, get out of here.
Thanks, Troy. So, no, but what I was going to say is, in the 21 years we've been to 9 AFC championship games, I think it's six teams in the AFC haven't been to one in that time. And we're so lucky that consistency with Bill and Tom and in the personnel department, we're very lucky to have it. And
does it seem like it's 21 years? Because it doesn't to me. Because I remember
every year goes by quick.
When Dickerson and I were in Worcester, and you used to call in, or Fred used to call in, and that's when you guys were building.
Hey, here's...
That seems like yesterday.
Gary, here's how you know that it's been a long time for us. The first year where we were all together on the network, Harry used to come in and throw a football.
Oh, good.
And Green Bay nailed it.
Yeah,
wow.
It's going to overtime.
Little Harry used to throw the football around with us on the sidelines. We were waiting for Jonathan. Now he's getting ready to, like, go to college.
He's going to play in college next year. So, yeah, we're all good. We used to be late because of Pop Warner games, but anyhow.
That's right.
Goes fast. Jonathan, enjoy the day.
Hey, thanks, guys.